Let's get started here. Turn to 2:10. We'll open up with that. Celebrating that victory right there that Jesus Christ got him.
Now you'll sing just as bad as I do.
While they're turning there, let's have Anna, who is back after a vacation from you know where. No, it was a work trip from the other place. But
straight in.
Yeah, go ahead and pray for us, Anna, and then we'll get rolling here.
Dear Lord, I just thank you so very much for this night that we have to get together, to get into your word, to get into the songs. And Lord, I just pray that we would put all our distractions out of our mind, Lord, and just completely focus on you, put you first, and lift these songs up, and hopefully they make a change in our lives, and the sermon will also make a change in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn to 2:10, saved by the blood of the crucified one. All right? That's what happened when Bryson got saved, right there, by the blood, and only by the blood. All right, verse number one, here we go.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new word begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Praise him,
Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. angels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled.
Shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Here we go. Verse number one, bring them in.
Hark, is the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away.
Just the lost that are out there that might have gone astray, we learn that there's older brothers that are out there in the field, even though they're at home, all right? So maybe on your heart right now tonight, you're not here where you ought to be. Let's get that thing right while we're singing these verses. I love what Jared did last time, just really encouraging everyone, like, slow down a little bit, think about what you're singing. You know what? Internalize these things. Be intentional about what you're saying here, all right? Have fellowship with God. All right, here we go. Verse 1 again.
Hark, is the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert, dark and drear. Calling the sheep who've gone astray. Far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them. Shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, is the Master speaks to thee.
Go,
go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in.
Rejoice, rejoice. What number is that? Rejoice, ye pure in heart. 26. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Might be a little new for some of you. You'll pick it up as we sing it, or we'll sing it longer until you do pick it up here. All right, number 26. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Here we go.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your vessel banner wave on high. The cross of Christ, your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Bright youth and snow crowned age, strong men and maidens meet. Raise high your free exalting song, God's wondrous praises sing. As full and strong as ocean's surging grace, sing forth the hymns our fathers love, the songs of ancient days. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing with all the angel choir.
Hallelujah. What a Savior. Here we go. Verse 1.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame.
Jesus is coming again. 151. Here we go. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming.
First one again, marvelous message.
A marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again.
Turn it. Not sure when, but he's coming. Raise your hand if you're familiar with this one. All right, so we got a new one here. So it's like, it may be at morn when the day is awaking. You got to take your time with it. When sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. And now the plea. Repertoire. It's a new one. I understand that, but we'll take our time with it. Like, once again, so good when you listen to it. A very encouraging song. Let's drop a little bit too. Might get a little high. Here we go. Verse number two.
It may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance at the blackness of midnight. We'll burst into light.
while hosanna, hosanna from heaven descending, with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow like a halo of glory, will Jesus receive his own. O Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the last song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory, when Jesus receives his own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shall be returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Okay, good stuff. All right, maybe one more, maybe. You guys want to pick? I'll go
down here. 160.
I was going to say channels only. That's beautiful. All right, here we go. Channels only. Lord, make me a channel. Here we go. Verse 1.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin.
Help me, Lord.
Where thou thoughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, he's flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit,
amen,
hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, he's flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Good job, guys. Go ahead and sit down. I'm going to change up the lesson. Lord, something different on my heart. I think with us getting ready for camp, this is important, especially if I need to call on some of you kids to lead one of your other parents of Christ while we're there. One of the things we hope to do at camp is, not only separate ourselves from the world and have an extended amount of time in the Word of God so that the Lord can have more opportunity to deal with us. But also, you know, we got some visitors coming in. I know I got maybe about 10 visitors that don't go to our church coming in. People that, you know, were invited by people not in youth group and stuff like that. And so what's going to happen when, you know, we're at that time? Let's say the Lord does a great work there and we need multiple people to win people to Christ, right? You kids know how to do that. If you're saved here today, do you know how to win someone else to Jesus Christ? How to lead them in the Bible and show them what the Bible has to say about salvation. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Who thinks they know the first spot that they would start when it comes to winning someone to Christ? All right? First, you kids have been around for a while. And let me give you guys a little hint and give you a little cheat. One of the easiest ways to do this is to ask yourself, how do I know I'm saved? All right, Macy.
Would you ask them if they were to die right now, if they know where they're going?
All right, so that's a beautiful question right there. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? All right, so I'll put that thing up here. Where are you going? And really, that's the question we want them asking, you know, while whoever's preaching or whatever. We want that thing to get invoked in them. Where am I going? You know, am I going to live forever? No. I was talking to my boss this week, and that's one of the things I brought up to her. Is like, you know, you're going to be dead longer than you're going to be alive, right? That might be a little direct or whatnot, but we got that type of relationship, I can say that. But she was like, yeah, you know, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. Yeah. How long has Abraham Lincoln been dead? You know, over 200 years. You're not going to live that long. So don't you think it might be a little important to figure out what's going to happen when this takes place? Probably. You know, God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. And if his overall goal and desire was to have fellowship with us, why would he make us expire so quickly? Right? If I wanted something to last for my wife, I wouldn't make it out of toilet paper. Okay? I wouldn't make an umbrella out of toilet paper because it wouldn't last very long in the rain, right? So if God wanted to have fellowship with us, why would he make us in bodies that die so quickly? Because the true fellowship ain't about to happen here. It's going to happen where we're going. Or it's not going to happen where we're going. So like Macy said, that's the first thing you want to ask yourself is that. I'm going to kind of give you guys a little outline of what I like, the way I like to do it. This is kind of what's in my mind when I'm doing this. Any counselor that's worked with me at camp, I think I've sent this thing to them or printed it out for them before. And I kind of look at winning someone to Christ in two forms. All right, Bryson, you might remember some of this stuff. This was kind of subconsciously going on in the back of my mind while we were talking last week. So there's stuff that I want to do outside of the Bible. And these are just questions I'm asking to make sure that they're serious. I got to find out what's really going on. All right? And the first thing I'm trying to figure out is, what's the goal? So you as the soul winner, you as the person that's going to show them how to get saved, this is what you're asking yourself. What's the goal? And it really just is two forms. Is it education? Or is it salvation? There we go. So what does that mean? Education or salvation? Bryson,
like,
fresh off the press.
When you say education, are you meaning like learning more about the Bible? And then like salvation being like, are you doing it to get saved or are you doing it to learn the Bible?
Okay, good.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That is basically it. You know what? There's such a fog out there in the world about what salvation really is, about why you need to get saved, about how God sees you as a human being, that oftentimes when people come and they hear the gospel, it's the first time that they've heard the gospel. If you would have told me that several years ago, I would have thought you're lying. I would have thought there's no way in the world with, you can turn on the WWE and you see people with, you know, John 3:16 signs. You know, you see football players with that eye black that says John 3:16. You got all these different billboards around town that say, I am second, and stuff like that. I never would have thought you could grow up in this area, Kansas City, Independence, in the Midwest, even in America, and not have heard the gospel. 2013, I was proven wrong, man. I cannot believe that. We had a kid, little Logan Putman, 12 years old, grew up in Independence, Missouri, never heard of the gospel. You too? How long for you?
27.
All right, so it's not as prevalent as we think. So the first thing is just maybe they're hearing about this for the first time. Maybe they're hearing about Jesus Christ. Maybe not Jesus Christ. I'm sure they heard him, you know, sworn about or something. But at least they're hearing about the actual story, what he did. So you have to ask yourself, is this education or is it salvation? Now, why is that important? Why do I not want to try to do salvation when someone's here for education? Jay.
You might scare them off.
Okay, that could happen. I could scare them. What's something else that could take place? Bryson?
I think I'm kind of understanding what the question is, but at the same time, I'm not.
Okay, Ethan?
Because if they're here for education, then they obviously don't want salvation, so why would you try to teach them something they don't want?
Okay, Caleb?
If they're here for education, it's not really in their heart.
There's the key, guys. We got to have salvation go from the head to the heart. It's got to make that trip, all right? And oftentimes, you're just learning. You're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. But is salvation about what you know or who you know? Is salvation about the knowledge you have or what you believe? See that? So, absolutely, you got to learn about the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, prayer goes again the third day according to the scriptures, and all that stuff like that, right? But you truly believe that with all your heart and soul. My daughter is educated on this. And she's constantly educated on this over and over and over. But right now, it has not gotten to the point of heart knowledge yet. And you know how it's going to happen? Once you realize that you're a sinner headed to hell, you truly believe what hell is, and you know you're going there, do you guys think it's going to be hard to remember that and to make that a priority in your life? No. If I said, hey, by the way, 2 hours from now, there's going to come an assassination squad in here and you all are going to die. You think you have trouble thinking about that? You think you'd be distracted by, oh, well, I still have to plan my lunch and my meals for tomorrow and what I'm going to wear? No, you'd be pretty focused on that. Same thing. Once somebody gets the right education on this, they understand how God sees them, where they're headed, what the penalty for that sin is, it can jump to the heart very quickly. What does the Bible say? Keep thy heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. That's going to become an issue when you realize that I could take no more breaths and drop down in hell forever. That's what I call someone having issues, okay? You got issues then, bud. All right, so what's the goal? Is it education or salvation? Something else you don't want to do? Drake and I found this out a lot while we listened to our boss. The society we live in nowadays is very agreeable, okay? We've got all this stuff that's been pushed down our throats about, you know, all this weird stuff with gender and weird social justice stuff that's been pushed down, everything like that. And what we've been taught is like, listen, just let us be who we want to. Let us love how we want to. Just everybody get along. Everyone coexist. And so you guys have gotten used to that coming up in school. We've gotten used to that working in our workplaces so that we don't get HR calls on us and stuff like that for calling people out, all right? We've gotten used to existing with stuff that's absolutely an abomination to God. And with that, people have gotten used to us. They know that you're a Christian. They know that, okay, that guy kind of believes in some wonky stuff over there, stuff I think is a myth. But you know what? I can understand that. And so with that, they'll sit here, they'll understand everywhere where you're coming from, and just so that they can get along with you, they'll say yes to this. I've seen that happen at camp. Kelly Crust one year, there's a girl that came in here, and she was a spiritualist or whatnot, and she wanted to, pretty much in her mind, she wanted to act salvation as like a little, like another, like, if she was a Girl Scout, like another pin in her little, like, whatever they call those things, a little vest or whatnot. All right, because she had like messed around with tarot cards, Ouija boards. She had gone like to mess around with Buddhism and all these other religions. And so now she thought, well, yeah, I'll go to this church camp. I want to learn about Christianity so I can incorporate that into my own beliefs. So when the time came, when we were like, who wants to get saved and everything like that, she raised her hand. She got up with courage, went to the back, sat down with Kelly. Kelly laid out the whole thing to her and everything like that. And Kelly said, so where are you going when you die? Why are you here? What's the point? And she's like, well, I think this is just something cool and I want to be a part of this. So Kelly was like, well, that's nice. We're glad that you're here, but we don't think that you're ready to get saved yet. You know what she did? She threw a fit because she thought salvation was another merit badge for her. So you got to be careful about this. You got to understand where the person's coming from. You say, well, Zach, how do I know? Okay, let's keep going. So once you find out what the goal is, you got to ask them, what do you want? I'm referring back to my notes here because sometimes I rearrange things and I go on a different tangent here. So what do they want? And so when I do this, I'll be like, hey, why did you raise your hand? Why do you want to get saved? And you get, this is where you get some different stuff. All right, why do you want to get saved? I've had people say this before because my grandma told me I need to get saved, you know, type of deal. You know, they didn't really quite understand that, no, you have a sin debt. And we'll talk about that, all right? They have reasons why they want to do it. Well, so-and-so was coming up here, and they're pretty cool, and so if they're doing it, I can trust what they're doing, right? You know, type of deal, stuff like that. Ask them what they want. Let her see. Sorry for my sloppy writing. So now this is where we got to get particular. What would you say if, when you ask that question, you find out what they want, why they raise their hand, you ask this question, why are you getting saved? Why do you want to get saved? What do you do when someone says this? Because I'm dying. What's wrong with that answer? Marcella?
So basically they're just saying that they want to get saved because they don't want to go to hell.
Isn't that right, though? Isn't that a good thing? Okay, hold off on that. I might want to come back to you. Bryson?
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, they're doing it, and their minds are like, oh, because I'm dying, I want to get saved. But if I was not going to be dying, then now I'm not going to get saved.
Wow. Caleb?
They had a whole life of sin. They had probably a lot of opportunities, and just now they want to do it. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, they just want to go to heaven. I mean, isn't that why Jesus Christ did all what he did for us? So that because we're going to die, there's a hell, and we can become better? What's wrong with these answers? What's up, Bryson?
Yeah, but I mean, like we had talked about Thursday, like, you're doing it for a reason, and very much how I just had it in my head, sorry.
Yeah, you're all right, Elena?
He wants us to have a real relationship with him.
Okay.
So, like, just saying, oh, because I'm dying, like, it's not really going to do anything because he wants you to get saved so you can have a real relationship with him, and not just because you want to, like, have comfort or to have what you have here.
Or just, like, clarification, like, to know where you're going. He's not going to, because then if you do get saved and you go up there, he's going to be like, so you just wanted to come up here. You didn't want to have a relationship with me, but you just wanted clarification that you were going somewhere.
You think God would accidentally let somebody into heaven have that conversation with them? Look, I don't know. I brought you close so we could sit down and talk, so now listen. Yeah. Everything you guys said, I'm nitpicking, but the only reason I'm shocked you guys were actually smarter than me, I thought these things were fine for the longest. I thought that's why you do like deathbed conversions and stuff like that. You know, as a kid, I never wanted to go to hell. I always wanted to go to heaven, so clearly. And yeah, like, you can't do it on your own, so you need Jesus' help, right? In the end, I want to write this in red just because it'd be more emphasis. Yeah, it'd be good. All these colors are fun. I like this. You need to be saved. Yes, this is all a part of them, but it has to stem from this right now.
BC.
Huh? I should have put BC, I know. Because, you see, I need to get my text lingo up. See, that works no matter where you're at. It's that has to come to light. So this is where the relationship ties in. It's not just about me and what I want. Someone made me. Someone was expecting something from me. And I failed them miserably. And they don't want nothing to do with me now. And I've got something on me that's going to prevent me from going here. And whether I'm doing it now or later, this time is going to happen. And if I die with this on me, it's going to be hell. What's up, Bryson?
I just thought it. So here's that's the thing. It's like you're like, oh, I'm dying. Okay, let me get saved because I'm dying. Mm-hmm. And then let's just say a miracle happens. They don't die, right? They live.
Right.
You have no guarantee that person, they're thinking, oh, you know, I'm saved and God did a miracle on me, so now I'm alive and I'm going to do nothing to repay that. I'm just going to say, oh, I'm saved and I'm fine and not do anything to build all that.
So like they're gonna trick God or something like that?
Not necessarily trick God, no. But to say that like it's gonna get in their head in a way that they're like, oh, I got saved before I thought I was dying, so I got saved. And since in their minds they think, oh, God cured me, God kept me alive. You know, I'm saved. But then they don't try to read the church. They don't start going to church. They
oh, sorry.
Do those kind of things.
Even. They don't do anything.
Okay, Ethan, what are you going to say?
Bryson, I kind of disagree with that because usually what I've heard, when some people get close to dying, they say that, like, that brings them closer to the Lord. And, like, that makes them want to do better. That realize, oh, well, they say I'm dying.
Is this a saved person or unsaved person?
Even, like, say it's, like, a Christian out of fellowship. Like, yeah. If it's somebody like that, like, it usually drives them to come back to church because they're like, oh, I've been living like this. Maybe this is a wake-up call that God gave me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure. So, this is the main thing right here. Did Jesus Christ die because we were dying? The Bible said Christ died because we were going to die, according to the Scriptures. You say Jesus Christ died because we couldn't get to heaven, according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ died because we couldn't be better people without Him, according to the Scriptures. What does 1 Corinthians 15:3 say? Christ died for our sins. It's the sin debt. That's the issue. This is the issue. This is why Jesus Christ had tears of grief. Because He had never experienced that. Everyone, all the greats throughout history experienced that. Oh yeah, that happened. But He had never experienced this right here, sin. God is holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. He did not want to touch this. So that's what they have to understand. That's what's on you. That's why God can't have fellowship with you. That's the thing that separated Adam and Eve from God. And they didn't die. They were in a place that was similar to heaven, the paradise, right? And they were the best people you could be. Up to that point, all right? But when this happened, God said, I'm through with you. Head out. Peace. So it's going to be that. I found that out. I went to go talk to Pastor Bob, just like as a kind of a precaution. I had a coworker that wanted me to go visit her sister that was dying in the hospital. And so she was like, hey, you know, I know you go to church and everything, and I should know this and everything like that, but I can't. Can you go visit my sister? So this was awkward for me. Like, I was a lot younger back then, and I didn't like feel like I knew what to do in that situation. So I went and talked to Bob. I was like, hey, this is the situation. Like, I feel like I know what to do, but just give me a heads up on what not to. And this is when he gave me this talk. Make sure they're not doing it for any of these reasons. Now, I probably didn't end up working out because she was in a coma when I went there. I could she was responsive as far as being able to hear me and stuff like that, but there was no way in the world I was able to find out if she was going to do it for this reason right here. So it kind of just ended up being a good testimony to that lady at work. But you guys got to make sure it's that right there. Do you realize you've got sin against God dragging you to hell? And until you get that being lifted, liberated, until you get that being washed whiter than snow, you're toast. All right? So I'm thinking of these four bullet points here. We haven't got to the fourth one yet, but what's my goal? What do they want? You know, see if they know what to say when you ask them this. Why do you want to get saved? Why'd you raise your hand? And then you ask them, if they say, I'm getting saved because, you know, I'm a sinner, you're good. As long as they're not coming up with anything like this or anything that's outside of that I showed you up there. The last thing that I'm looking for outside of the Bible is repentance. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Before you can come to Christ, you first have to come to repentance. And actually, Bryson, this is one of the things I was pretty impressed with that you kind of touched on first. When we were having our little talk, I asked you why, and you said, you know, I at first I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to give up the people you were hanging out and the stuff you were doing. Remember that? But then what took place? He was like, now I'm ready to give that up. Hold on to that stuff. Isn't worth what I'm about to gain with God. That's repentance. Somebody read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So we know about come to Jesus, come to Jesus. But before you do that, you have to come to repentance, come to repent. Now, why is that? What does the word repent mean? You guys know this. Caleb.
Go the opposite direction.
Opposite direction, to turn, all right? Do a 180, all right? So you're going to flip around, do a 180. Repent equals to turn. Up to this point, you've been going your own way. You thought that, you know, maybe living the best life you could, treating people better than, following the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. Or maybe if your good works outweighed your bad works at the end of life, you'll make it to heaven. But then you found out there's only one way, one truth, one life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And you're like, dadgum, I got to submit to that. And you turn, and you go this way now. All right? Now, don't get this confused with works. This is the thin line here, but I'll explain it to you guys, hopefully clearly. When it comes to repentance, yes, it's a mindset and it's thoughts. Turn over to Isaiah 55:7. I'll show you this. It's your mindset about the way you're going. Isaiah chapter 55. I think that's it. Isaiah 55. You already there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Big voice.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous stuff like that. Man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Look at that. Hey, isn't that salvation? Let the wicked, me, forsake his way, the way he was going. Right? The unrighteous man, his thoughts. And what does it say? And let him return. What does the word repentance mean? To turn, right? Let him return to the Lord. And what does it say? What's the rest of that?
Return to the Lord when I go to the rest
of it. Uh-oh. Anybody else still
Sorry.
There?
You're return right. to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him.
Mercy. Mercy. Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what you're coming to God for? His mercy? Let us boldly come before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. That's what salvation is. Mercy. God withholding the wrath on you that you deserve. Grace. God giving us what we didn't deserve. See that? So, that verse, Isaiah 55:7, sums that thing up so beautifully. All right, and I understand, you know, Israel and all that stuff back then, but what a beautiful application to us in the New Testament, devotionally, okay, inspirationally. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. So what God's looking for is not this. He was not looking for Bryson to step out of the room after telling me that he was ready to give up those friends and to start giving those friends up. And if Bryson did it, then he can get saved. God was looking at his hard attitude. He says, is he willing to turn from the way he's going? Because actually, son, you're actually not able. Because if you were able, you wouldn't need me. So there's some truth to that. Wanting to be a better person but not being able to do it without Jesus Christ. Okay? So, repentance before salvation is a mindset. It's, Lord, I'm ready to give this stuff up and go your way. Will you save me? And God sees that mindset. He sees that heart attitude. And he says, all right, open the floodgates. Let's pour it on them. Let's give it to them. And then after you're saved, you keep that attitude. And by being transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting into the Bible, finding out what to do, taking heed according to the word, you're able to change those things in your life. All right? But first, God wants to know, are you willing? What's your heart attitude like? What's the heart like? Heart and head. That's what God's looking for. All right. So those are the things I'm doing outside of the Bible. What's my goal? Are they just trying to understand what's happening? Are they just learning about this for the first time? Or salvation? Do they understand this whole thing? They've got a desire or something.
Sometimes another goal is just assurance of their salvation.
So if someone's already saved, yeah, that's another good one. It's just, we're just doing this thing because they don't even understand what happened. I remember when I first got saved, I was probably 6 years old, okay? When I first understood that I have sin that's going to take me to hell. And I could feel that fire, all right? And so I got saved the first time at 6. Did I have assurance then? Absolutely not. I think every church service I was in, I probably raised my hand or wanted to go up forward or say the prayer quietly to myself to do it over and over and over again for 6 years until I was 12 years old. And then when I was 12, it was the first time I got assurance about, no, once you're saved, you're always saved. It's all right. Okay? It wasn't until 19 when I was like, okay, I'm going to give my life over to it now. See that thing? So it's kind of like a stage type. I'm not saying you guys are going to be that slow and dumb and do it like that, but that's how it was for me. 6 years old is probably when it happened. 12 is when I believed it. 19 is when I wanted to do something about it. Okay? So that was my little progress or whatnot. Okay, the next thing and the last thing is in the Bible. In the Bible. Now, this is where you got all these different methods of what to do and Romans Road and different ways that people have laid out to go about leading someone to Christ. Mine is kind of rooted in the Romans Road. But I do want to say this. This is the most important thing. Your job when it comes to getting to the Bible, it's not your job to save them. It's God's job. And once their heart truly desires salvation, see, God's looking at the heart. Once their heart truly desires salvation, he's going to do it no matter what you bumble through. You know, my job is like what Jenny said, is to give them assurance based off of what the Word of God says. That's the cool thing about having a Bible to show you that it's salvation. You don't have to worry about your feelings. Because now we're going to go into the book and show you what the Bible actually says so that when I'm not here, you can go back to it. When you're by yourself, you can go back to it. When no one else is around you, you can always go back to it and get that assurance. So that's what your job is. You're like the guy that's reading the contract to them, showing them where to sign because there's a lot of words in there, you know, and stuff like that. You're like, no, let me put an X right here. Here's the X. Put your name right there. Okay, that's where we're going. That's your job. You're showing them how to sign this contract and say that, yes, that's what I want to do. Absolutely. And then you're showing them what it all says. Okay? So it's not, don't worry about, oh my gosh, did I do this right? Did I do this wrong? Actually, see, God's not relying on you that much. Okay? I hope that doesn't, you know, bust your ego or whatnot, but he's really not relying on you that much. And check this out. He did way too much work on Calvary. He suffered way too much to let you screw that up. So that made me feel a lot better once I learned that, all right? Praise the Lord. Because I could totally screw that thing up for sure. All right. Inside the book. I like to always start with this question. Can you guys see that okay? I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth with these colors, but do you believe you're a sinner? Right? What does that go back to? Them understanding the number one thing they need to understand. Not that they're dying, not that they want to go to heaven, not that they can't be a good person, but they're sin debt. All right? So what's a good verse to lay that out? What's a good verse that shows somebody they're a sinner? Is there a verse in the Bible that actually, would the Bible be that? What's up, Jay? Would the Bible be that mean?
There's a verse that says,
where's that?
Romans.
Don't. Alex is stealing your answers. All right. Somebody else.
Colossians.
Now he's diverting you. Where does it say here? Something about falling short of the glory of God. Was that like a verse where somebody was jumping over a mountain, they didn't make it? Falling short of the glory of God. Is it Old Testament or New Testament? Boy, well, maybe we should have been spending more time on this. What's up, Jay?
It's an open book test.
Yeah, yeah. Please feel free to use your books. Use your textbooks. Fall short of the glory of God.
Romans 3.
Good job, Caleb. All right, he's got one. Romans 3.
What's the verse?
3:23. For all have sinned. That's our key word right there. And come short of the glory of God. Say fallen or come?
Fallen.
Does it say fallen or come there?
Come.
Come. You tried to make it, but you didn't get there. If you've fallen, maybe you started out there. Mm-hmm. Nah, you weren't there. All right, all have sinned and come short. You saw it, you tried to attain it. You tried to build the Tower of Babel and get back to heaven. You tried to build your own religion and get there. You tried to work for it, but you came short. You came short. You weren't there. All right, so that's a good one. You got to make sure that they know that they're a sinner. Oh boy, here's a good question. You have to say the no-no word. Nobody wants to say.
No.
That's right. Two no-no's in there. Sin and hell. Do you believe your sin is taking you to hell? Do we have a verse that says that? That bad people go to hell? This one might be a little tougher. All right. Give me two volunteers. Raise your hands. I'll tell you where to go. Unless you guys know one. All right, Caleb and Ethan. Caleb, go to Revelation 21:8.
I have one.
What are you really?
Yes, I'm literally here.
Ethan, Psalm 9:17.
You got another one?
Wait, what's the Ethan's? Let's hear Ethan's.
Mine is John 6:47. It's kind of like, nah.
Read it, because I don't know it.
Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life.
Okay, I want it to be direct, though. I want them to be able to, like, when I'm not there... That's a good point. There are some verses you can read and you understand because you've got this Christian lingo, you've been around so many messages that you understand the picture there and all that stuff like that. When you're doing this with somebody and you're showing this to them in the Bible, you want to give them stuff that when you're not there, they can go back. Remember, it's a contract. You want them to be able to read it themselves and get assurance. Go ahead, Bryson. Bryson, you turned to Psalm 9:17. All right, Caleb, go ahead and read Revelation 21:8.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars should have left their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right. So that's enough right there. Even though it's talking about something at the end of the millennium and all that stuff like that, I get it. They don't know that. They know that there's some bad people going to a bad place. Do you know that your sin, bad person, is taking you to a bad place? Okay? That's the goal here. Do you know that your sin is taking you to a bad place?
I would have argued that.
Oh, what do you got, Anna?
No, I would have argued with it as an unsafe person. I'm not a whoremonger.
Good point. The reason I like that, because it had like sorcerers and like, dude, I like Harry Potter, but I don't know how to do that stuff type of deal, you know? The reason I like that verse is what's the last one it says? And all what?
Liars.
Got him. So I like that one. It's like, yeah, absolutely. You know those things because you're a good person. What about that one, though? Oh, yeah, you missed it. Sorry. See, I heard somebody say one time, sin has many tools, but lying is a handle that can fit them all. All right? Sin has many tools, but lying is a handle that can fit them all. Because you got to lie to yourself. God told you the truth about something. You had to lie to yourself to go away from it. God told Adam and Eve, no, not that tree. Don't touch it. The devil came and said, Did God really say that? And they had to lie to themselves and say, no, he didn't say that, did he? He said this. See? Lying is where it gets us all. The devil, he started out like that. He had to lie to himself. He forgot where he came from. Yeah, you're better than all God's creation. You're awesome, but who made you, son? He had to lie to himself and say, well, I can be better than him. I can be better than the source I came from. No, you can't. All right. Go ahead. Psalm 9:17.
The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God.
Same thing. Bad people, the wicked, going to a bad place, hell, and all nations that forget God. So that's why I use those verses there, because it's one of these things when you leave them by themselves, they can get assurance without you. That's why I like those things. All right. Once they say yes to that, the next thing I'm going to ask them is, I want to see what they say to this. Why did Jesus die? So this is going to be one of these things where you start to see what their understanding of what's happening is. They believe that they're a sinner. They believe their sin's taking them to hell. But why did Jesus die? Now, this verse I've brought up several times tonight. Elena's sitting there smiling at me like a Chester cat. All right, what do you think? Look like you're about to say something there. Macy, what are you going to say? Okay, read that. Well, now, why'd you choose that one, Macy?
Well, I wrote down that it said that Christ died for our sins.
I mean, it says it pretty plainly there, right? Christ died for, and then it listed, our sins. So you can't go wrong with 1 Corinthians 15:3, which is also the gospel. Beautiful. If they understand that and they're saying, he died for my sins. And so that's something you can get more particular about, because sometimes, especially people that grew up in a church, like a Catholic church or something like that, they'll say, well, Christ died for sins, and they won't make it personal. So make sure that they understand the personal sin debt there, not humanity's sin debt, okay? This is something, Caleb, I think your dad was preaching at the mission. I picked this up, and I like this man when he said this. We were just talking about personal. Do you take personal responsibility for his death? He died for you. Your sin killed him. When you're witnessing to people on the streets, and so that was the point John just said. He was like, do you realize that it was your sin that killed him? It was your sin. All right? One of the number one things when you talk to an unsaved person on the street, you say, do you think you're a sinner? You know what they all oftentimes say? Well, I never killed anybody.
Right. Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, you can't get saved. Because until you realize that your sin murdered Jesus Christ, you can't get saved, son. Isn't that funny how that thing works out? Like, before we think, okay, they're just trying to prove that they're, you know, not the worst person or whatnot. No. Until you realize that you did kill someone with your sin, that's why he died for you, you actually can't get saved. That's why the Bible says Christ died to save the ungodly. All right? That's who he came for. Christ died for the ungodly. All right. Number four. Can you guys in the back see it when I get this low? You guys all right?
I can see it.
Bryson can see it. So if you guys can't see it, get with Bryson.
Listen. I don't think my I'll just look for everyone else.
Ooh, how about that one right there? Do you believe Jesus can save you from hell? And this is where I'm emphasizing the whole thing, that it's him alone and only him. Now, what verse is going to give me that? You guys got some? What verses would you show to say that, see, it's Jesus that's saving me from hell? Ooh, read that, Caleb.
But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath of him.
Wow. You shall be saved from wrath through Donald Trump, right? Right, like, yeah. Through Mahatma Gandhi.
I like to include verse 6 with that.
Ooh, what's verse 6, Anna?
Read it.
Which verse?
Read verse 6. She wants to hear verse 6 again.
He just did
8
and
9.
Oh,
for scarcely when. Okay, go ahead, sorry.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen. There you go. So he died for our sins, but he died for the ungodly. I think that's what I just quoted a second ago. All right. John 1:29. What does that say? Let me turn there. I actually don't remember. Oh, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world, right?
Yeah.
It has to be. Was that Jesus' baptism? Yeah, it's probably John the Baptist speaking. So I'm going to guess that's what he's saying. There you go. Romans 6:23, the great but. What does that say? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. So that shows you it's Jesus that saved you from hell. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the, there it is again, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh boy, here's one of Dr. Ruckman's favorites. What am I? Because it says it without any shall without. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to, Jesus Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost, which come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. All right? Now, once we got them, realizing that it's only Jesus Christ that can save me from hell, no one else. Five. One of these things we just don't do, and it's so funny because of how simple it is. Will you ask him? You'd be surprised how many people stop there and won't do that. Will you ask him? Isn't that funny how that's the same thing we have to do in our Christian lives to get stuff from the Lord? Ask and you shall receive, right? Whenever we don't have the right heart attitude, should we walk away with our hands between our, tail between our, you can't put your hand between your legs. Contortionist. Whatever's supposed to go down there, all right? Should you walk away like that, upset and depressed? Or should you just stop and realize that, well, wait, thank God he gave me a way to communicate with him. Maybe I can just ask him to change my heart. Oh, it's just that simple? Yeah. Same thing at salvation. So, you say, is there like a quick version of this? Yeah, I go like this. Admit you're a sinner. Accept what Christ did for you. Ask him to apply it. So when your car breaks down on the side of the road, they used to have AAA. I don't know if they still have that. But when you finally get humbled and realize that where you're going, you break down, there's AAA right there. Admit who you are, where you're going. Accept what's been given to you. Accept God's knowledge. I love that verse. I think I told you guys that's how I do my definition for acknowledge. I just kind of made up my own definition for it. But the Bible says, what is that? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Accept God's knowledge. This whole Bible is nothing but God's knowledge on what you need to do now that you're broken down. Accept it. And then ask him to apply it to you. All right? Just like that. So, hey man, next Thursday we're going to be downstairs listening to Dean, so no youth group next Thursday, but I want you guys to go over this stuff, get this down, understand it. It's going to give you assurance as a Christian. It's going to give you confidence, and then it's going to give you the ability to give somebody else that same thing. I mean, this is the best stuff ever, just being able to give somebody the Bible themselves to where when you're not around, they can still, that's what builds people up when you empower them. All right, we're not empowering them like social justice warriors empower people and stuff like that. That's false. That's got an expiration date on it. This stuff right here goes with you throughout your life and into eternity. This is good stuff. All right,
one more.
What's up, Alex?
You can know.
Oh yeah, you got to go there.
Oh, talking about assurance. What Jenny talked about?
Yeah.
Once you get saved, you got to know.
All right. So which one are you gonna do? First John, or are you gonna do?
First John.
First John 5, guys. So that's a good one. And Dr. Ruck used to always say that. He would leave him with this. So I'll have to add that sixth one to it. Ask him, now do you know it? We'll call it that. Is that a good one, or should we call it something else?
I think it's a good one.
Do you know it? You guys can play around with it.
I would just say, are you saved?
Are you saved?
Do you know where you're going now?
Do you know it?
Are you
saved? So, yeah, you put that there too.
They always say, I hope so.
Are you sure?
I go back through the whole thing. Again.
Okay, so just put, are you sure down here or something like, do you know it? Are you sure? Huh?
Do you know for sure? I don't know. 6, 7, 5.
Jay, what were you about to say? You have your hand, or are you just stretching? You're just like fanning out the armpit. Did you have something over you put? Okay. So do you know it? First, somebody that's got 1 John 5.
10-13, guys.
1 John 5, 10 through 13.
No, Ethan.
I don't
got 1 John 5, but I have a different one. I said John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death.
That's good. Never see death. John 11 says something similar to that over there. He that believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Why would Jesus lie like that? Go ahead, Marcel. What are you saying?
1 John 5:10-13.
Caleb, go ahead.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the Son believe on the name of the Son of God.
So that last verse there, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And what Dr. Upton used to do, he would, you know, have the guy across the table and he'd say, now, do you know it or do you not? And he'd be like, well, I guess. He'd be like, well, wait, is the verse that I guess? Or does it say you know? So you could start playing that game with them, put them on the spot, but get them to have faith and trust and empower them in the word themselves by going back to it. That's what's going to strengthen them. Not how you laid this out or how you stumbled through it or anything like that, all right? Them and God. That's all you are. You're the salesman to close that line between them and God, all right? Show them how to sign the contract. Show them how to seal the deal. Another good one about no is over there in Proverbs, actually, 22.
Yeah. 17-21.
That's right. Proverbs 22, I don't know the particular verse. I think it's somewhere between 17-21, like Alex said. But it says, have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth. So that's why God wrote these things to us, so that we could know for sure. He didn't want us guessing about this stuff. What's up, Elena?
I have one for five.
Ooh, what is it?
Luke 11:9-10.
I'm sorry, I forgot to put mine up here. So you said Luke 11. Read it first.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
And what was that, Luke what?
11:9-10.
Perfect. That was beautiful. And Romans 10, right? 9:10-13, the ask.
Yeah.
Whosoever calleth.
What was the Proverbs 22 what?
I don't know. 22-something in between 17 and 21. 17-21.
20.
22-20, thank you. So, hey, man, there we go. If you're expecting something, God will deliver. That's the cool thing about it. The preparations of the heart and man, the answer of the tongues from the Lord. But also the Bible says this. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 16:9. Man's heart deviseth his way. The Lord directeth his steps. If you really are looking for something, desire something from God, he'll provide it for you. He'll take you where your heart's wanting to go. You say, what if my heart doesn't want to go the right way? Ask him to change it. Ask him to give you the right heart. Yeah, because being self-righteous, think you're supposed to have it naturally. We don't. Nobody did. Nobody does.
Amen.
All right? So do all that stuff. Hey, keep praying for Dean. He's excited to come down here. But I know, like, the closer you get, the crazier, like, the spiritual attacks will get and stuff like that. And just pray that the Lord just gives him clarity and freedom just to preach it exactly how God gave it to him and what we need to hear.
Amen.
At that time. So let's, Alex, why don't you close out with a word of prayer, and then we'll be done, guys.
Our heads, guys. Just thank you for this time once again to have tonight. It's- it's always good just to go back to the foundations of where we all got our birth. You know, or what makes Lord nights like this even possible, Lord, is because of what you did on that cross for us, and us, and you having to make and bring us to the realization through your Holy Spirit, and thank you for your Holy Spirit bringing us to that realization, Lord, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and Lord, that we are vile, we're wicked, mm-hmm. we're sinful. There's nothing good about us.
Amen.
All our righteousness is as a filthy rag, Lord, and we need your perfect righteousness and your perfect blood.
Amen.
Lord, to protect us and to wash us and to cleanse us from all our sins. Lord, and thank you, Lord, that we can have that and trust in that promise from your holy and perfect word today. Lord, thank you that I don't have to rely on my stupid self. Lord, I'll lose my salvation in the next
That's
second,
right,
Lord,
man.
Because, Lord, I just know how stupid and prideful and arrogant and rebellious and sinful and just wicked I can be, Lord. But thank you, Lord, it's not dependent upon us as men. It's dependent upon you.
You're a man.
And your perfect sacrifice. Your son who came down here and lived as we are, but yet without sin. And thank God for that, because, Lord, there was nobody else who could pay that price but you, and you came down here and did it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Well, that's how you can have that connection with us today, Lord. You've been through everything that we will ever go through and more. And, Lord, and yet you still put up with us and deal with us. And, Lord, thank you, Lord, for just your grace and your mercy, and help us never to forget it. Help us not to misuse and abuse it. And understanding, Lord, you gave us something that we didn't deserve, and you withheld, Lord, your wrath, Lord, when it was just. And Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord. I can't thank you for it enough. I hope these kids really understand that and understand the responsibility that we have as ambassadors for you, Lord. People are dying and going to hell every day, and yet we're sitting up here just, Lord, cloudy-minded, not even caring, Lord, that souls are lost and dying, Lord, because we're just in our own little worlds. And Lord, forgive me for that, Lord. I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about myself. And, Lord, I know how easy it is just to get into your own world and forget that people, your neighbors, your friends, your family members are dying and going to hell. And, Lord, we'll have to see them and face them, Lord, one day and send them to hell, Lord. But at that point in time, Lord, it'll be too late. Lord, help us just to understand, Lord, this is the time that you've given us and to make the most of it right here, right now. And, Lord, go out, Lord, with a bang, truthfully. And just we can give you everything, Lord, that we have. And, Lord, and help us not to think that we have the knowledge or anything like that, but to simply trust your Holy Spirit's guidance through it all, Lord. And not to think that, Lord, because I take them through this route or we try to force it on them. No, help us to truly be adhering to what you would have us to do in every aspect of our lives, Lord. So when we get into situations like that, we'll know exactly what to do, because we're just earning that constant communication, that constant fellowship with you. And we're leading our lives, Lord, by your example, Lord, just and by your Holy Spirit's just calling. We just thank you and we love you for this church you've given us. Watch over our pastor and his, Lord, continue to give him the wisdom and guidance when it comes to leading us as a church.
Mm-hmm.
Watch over the leaders within our church and give them the guidance, Lord, as we have camp coming up next week. Help us just to, Lord, if we haven't gotten our hearts right for camp, help us to Lord, with this last week left, just to get
Amen.
More in tune and focused, Lord, and get our hearts out of this world and just get us ready to receive what you would want from us, Lord. If we have friends coming, Lord, just understand the responsibility of that. But just, honestly, just understanding the fact that we all have a responsibility when we have these guests who are here. Well, they're going to be looking to us and seeing, like, these are what Christians act like. These are the so-called
mm-hmm.
Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to be a part of that? Why would I want to be a part of something like that? Help us to really, to put our selfishness aside, to put our egos aside, Lord, just for one day, for 2 days,
Amen.
Lord, so that you can truly
Lord.
Just have
Amen.
Your way. And that they can see, Lord, what a church should look like. So that they can see what Christians who are living their lives for the Lord should look like, Lord. Help it not to stop there, but help it just to be something that continues so that we can continue to keep challenging each other and pushing each other. Lord, that's our job to the kids, but they also push us. They might not realize it, but Lord, I do look up to them, and I really do appreciate, Lord, their consistency. Even today, Lord, just that how they were attentive in the lesson.
Yeah,
Lord,
that was
Lord,
good.
Just reward them for that, and Lord, really give them something from your word.
Yeah.
And we just thank you for this time once again, Father God, in your name we pray. Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
After camp, we'll hit that lesson up. I think it'll be a good one for after camp anyway. So, that's going to be Jesus Christ every day he woke up. So he can be sinless. He made up his mind. I'll be sinless again. Yeah. Yeah, let's go to the office. That's going to be good.
I'm going to go on Saturday, put it on my shoe.
I mean, that's crazy, you know, it's like, not today, nope, I want to, but I'm not going to do it.
So we have like 45 people just in archery, shooting, so we don't know how many other people are shooting, so it might take a really long time. And the air rifle, we have to wait on the done shooting before we can start.
Come back around, and even use some of the stuff that you do.
No, I put all the things
come back around.
Yeah,
I'm
so long.